You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So as we go through the first chapter of Ketubot, we've mentioned the idea that we mentioned two ideas. First, that the amount of the Ketubah, the amount of money which a widow or a divorcee will receive when her marriage ends, either because her husband's died or because she's divorced. We've talked about the idea that this amount of money varies if she's a virgin or not. And we've also learned that a man might bring a claim in court if he marries a woman who he believes to be a virgin, but then finds that she's not. And in all of this discussion, the woman has been silent. Now, we're going to find as we go through the Mishnah of Ketubot that very often the woman is not silent. And very often the woman is believed. And we're going to see now a series of three Mishnayot in which Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer rule that the woman is believed, while Rabbi Yehoshua rules that she's not believed. And the Rambam will tell us, and I've brought the Rambam on a source sheet, that the halacha goes according to Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, actually consistent with much of the rest of the tractate of the Masechet. So we'll jump in the sixth Mishnah. Hanoseta isha velo matzala b'sulim, he omeret mi sherastani nenasti venistach pa sadach. A man marries a woman and he doesn't find her to be a virgin. So he marries her. This is something that happens on the wedding night. And remember, in times of old, the betrothal could have been many months or even a year before the wedding. So the price of the ketubah and the arrangement for the marriage would have been fixed at the time of betrothal. And she says, after you betrothed me, I was raped and your field has been washed away. That's a kind of euphemism. So she says, yes, I agree, I'm not a virgin, but this happened. It's out of my control, and it's after you betrothed me. In other words, I'm still due the ketubah that you agreed when you betrothed me. And he's going to disagree. Vehu omer, lo, lochi, ela, ad shelo erastich, vehaya, makachi, makach, ta'ut. No, this happened before I betrothed you. And my acquisition was a mistaken acquisition. In other words, I betrothed you with full ketubah in error. So what are we going to do? Rabban Gamliel uRabbi Eliezer omrim ne'emenet. Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say she's faithful, she's believed. VeRabbi Yehoshua omer eina ne'emenet. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Rabbi Joshua says, she's not believed. We don't live by her mouth. Ela harezo b'cheskat b'ula ad shelo tit ares hit ato ad shetavo ra'aya lidvareha. Rather, ela harezo b'cheskat. She's presumed to have had intercourse before she was betrothed, and therefore presumed to have had deceived him until she brings proof for her statement, i.e., she's got to bring proof rather than him. And the halakha doesn't go, I mean, the Gemara explains, by the way, that we go according to Rabban Gamliel because essentially we presume that she started off in a state of virginity. In other words, the base case is she's a virgin. So it's not up to her to bring proof. It's actually up to him. And the Rambam comments in his commentary on the Mishnah, the halacha ka Rabban Gamliel, the halachas like Rabban Gamliel, Shiamar Ne'emenet, who said she's believed. And then he throws in this rider, this comes from the Gemara, this is the halacha, I think probably comes from the Gemara, Aval yesh lo l'hashiva shvuat heset, but he should make a swear an oath, She'emet hi tonet, that she's telling the truth. Kadin kol toen, like any claimant, and the halacha for any claimant, by the way, is that they can be brought to the Bet Din and made to swear an oath. So that's the halacha. And the same pattern is going to be repeated now in the next two Mishnayot. He omeret mukat etz ani, behu omer lo, ki ela drusat ishat. She says, I was struck by a piece of wood. Now, we've already learned in the early Mishnayot of this chapter that the rabbis seem to know about someone who's not intact, but not because she's had previously had intercourse. And the rabbis call that struck by a piece of wood. It's their euphemism. And the Rabbi Meir actually allocates her a full ketubah of 200 zuz, and the halacha goes according to the sages who say 100. But he omer it, so she says, I was struck by a piece of wood. And he says, he omer it mukata etani, who omer lochi ela drusa ishat. She says, I was struck by a piece of wood. He says, no, you've been trampled by a man. Rabban Gamliel, u Rabbi Eliezer, omer omrim ne'emenet. Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer says, she's believed. And the presumption here, I think, is that, again, she's been married on the basis of a full ketubah, and Rabbi Hoshua would, if we don't believe her, she's going to lose her ketubah. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, lo mipiha anan anu chayim. We don't live by her mouth. It's the same statement. Eila, rezo b'cheskat drusa ish ad shetavora ayali divareha. But she's presumed to be trampled by a man until she brings proof for her statement. So he makes exactly the same claim. And the halacha in all of these Mishnayot goes according to Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. The third Mishnah refers to someone who's, well, the Mishnah says talking. Ra'uhu medaberet im echad. They saw her talking with someone. And by the way, some versions of the Mishnah, not the Kaufman manuscript that we're dealing with, but other printed versions say they saw her talking with someone in the marketplace. So this is in public. But the implication of talking here, there's a strong sexual connotation. And the Rambam makes it clear in his commentary, there's a sexual connotation here. In other words, she's been seen kind of hanging out with somebody in the marketplace. I think that's the underlying connotation. Now, Amrula, they said to her, Mativo Shelazeh, what sort of a guy is this? And she replies, Ish ploni vechohen hu. He's a ploni just means like John Smith. He's a so-and-so, and he's a priest. I.e., if I've had a relationship with him, it doesn't make me unfit to marry a Kohen. So my marriageable status is not affected by the fact that there's a, it's not affected by the fact that I've been seen with this guy in the marketplace. Rabban Gamliel, the Rabbi Eliezer, omrim ne'emenet. Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, she's believed. It's the same pattern. The Rabbi Yoshua omer, lo mipiha anu chayim. But Rabbi Yoshua says, we don't live by her mouth. Ela harezo b'cheskat bulal mamzer, but she's presumed to have had relations with an atin or a mamzer. Ad shetavora ayali dvareha. So the issue here isn't so much the question of the ketubah. So what, you know, these three mashnayot are are sort of jumping off one another, and they're linked by this dispute between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer on one side and Rabbi Yoshua on the other. And the question of whether we believe the woman or we believe the man. And the halakha goes according to Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. But in this final case, the question is, can she end up marrying a Kohen? Because if she has had a sexual relationship with an Atin is a non-Jew, and a Mamzer is someone who's offspring of a forbidden relationship, if she has had a sexual relationship with these individuals, then she can't subsequently marry a Kohen. So I guess she can't, well, she'll never be able to eat truma. I mean, there are advantages to marriage. There are significant economic advantages to being able to marry a Kohen, which we shouldn't, I mean, that which don't really exist anymore today, but we shouldn't forget. But the halakha goes according to Rabban Gamliel in all of these three cases.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.